It's entitled Faith is a Team Concept. And it comes out of Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. And so I'm actually going to read this morning 7 through 12. And I'm going to be reading now the New Living Translation of Scripture. And in my Bible, may be different from yours, but in my Bible, the header to this passage and this passage alone is it's entitled The Advantages of Companionship and Friendship. So let's go to the Lord here. I observe yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can, but then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is truly in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this morning's message again is entitled, Faith is a Team Concept. This message is brief, and the reason that it's truly brief is not because of its content or its meaning. It's so that we can go together this afternoon and enjoy in the fellowship of our friendship and our kindredship and all the things that we do as Christians. One of the greatest things we do as Christians, one of the happiest times we have, is when we're all bundled up. If you could see your faces, this is amazing. I've got toboggans and hoods and all kinds of things. It's just October. What are you guys going to do when it gets cold? Freeze?
I love that day.
So anyway, it's so that we can get together and enjoy each other's company this afternoon. And one of the happiest moments that we, our times that we have, is when we fellowship together. And so what you found, or what we read this morning, is exactly what this passage is talking about. The book of Ecclesiastes is the book in the Bible where we are taught to turn when we are trying to figure out our purpose in life. It's a very short book in the Bible, but it is so informative. I encourage you to go read it. You literally could read it in an hour, in the entire book. So I encourage you to go and read this book, study this book, because this is where we figure out our purpose in life. This morning we read from chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, and I want to focus quickly on 9 through 12. The reason I chose this scripture is because I want each of us to recognize the blessings of those who truly surround us. These people hold no great titles, and they most likely are not famous in any regard. They are unpaid volunteers who are overworked, and most of the time they are tired. These people are what we all call a blessing. God's blessing, in fact. I said they hold no great title because they hold the greatest title. These people hold the greatest title ever given to an individual in our world. This side of heaven, this is the greatest title one person could ever hold in their life. You see, we refer to them as our friends. Today, I want to take a brief moment and remind each of you of one of God's greatest blessings. In fact, if you ask me this morning, it is second to none, because it is God's greatest blessing, friendship. In my 50 years of life, I have never heard someone say, you know, I wish I had fewer friends and even less meaningful relationships with the people I do know. I have never heard that. The reason I've never heard it, and the reason I likely never will, is because God didn't make us this way. It's not in our DNA to say we do not desire love, affection, respect, and companionship. Each of us longs for the connection of someone else. As Christians, we see friendship being weaved throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelations, and all the stories in between. We see friendship weaved into those biblical accounts. This theme culminates, though, at the cross with our friend Jesus Christ, who gave His life for me and you. But just when you think our friendship was severed by death, we learn that it isn't so. Friendship stretches on and out through Scripture as an expectation in our eternal future together. One of the reasons that what comes to mind is as we study in Bible, in our Bible study group every Thursday night, we talk about eternity a lot. And one of the things that we always find ourselves in that conversation is about the friends that we've missed and the loved ones that have went on behind us and the people that we will recognize and get to see again. The glory of that, the joy of that, we talk about that all the time. And in fact, after the crucifixion and death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are assured that our friendships will remain in eternity. The second reason I chose Ecclesiastes 4 is because the writer appears to be looking at the world around him, especially in verse 7. He appears to be looking around him and he declares that those who are most fortunate are the ones not yet born. And that struck me when I read this passage. Given the events of the last few weeks and where we may see our world today, some of us could relate with that way of thinking. However, I caution you that that's a bleak, very bleak way of thinking. One could articulate this feeling. Anybody could try to justify that today is worse than yesterday and the world has no hope. Anybody can share that with you. And there are people, if you give them the opportunity, they will share that with you. Unless you are blind to the world around you, and most of you are not, in fact, all of you are not, things are pretty tough. And as my grandfather used to say, they likely will get just a touch worse before they get better. On this side of heaven where we are this morning, I can see people justifying this grim school of thought. However, today, again, I caution you, and I want to remind you what God expects from each of us. You see, over 2,000 years ago, God put out His own wanted ad, and Jesus Christ answered it. While living in this world as a follower of Christ Jesus, we need to live with greater joy as we believe and understand in the hope of our relationship with our Lord and Savior. You see, He answered the wanted ad. He called us to service in His name. So in order for us to do this, we should not walk in our faith alone, for our faith is a true team concept. In verse 9 this morning, we read that two people are better than one because they can help each other succeed. We know this to be a fact. This should be evident to you this morning just by what you can see and what you can touch around you in this hallowed place that we call the chapel. Scripture also teaches us that the second person is there, so you are never alone. And should you stumble, they are there to pick you up. We all know that left to our own devices, living without the aid of a loved one, we will quickly spiral downwardly into depression and other things that come in our life because we are simply alone. I remember after the passing of my father, my mom was in her home where I grew up. She'd been there since 1972. And I noticed my mom sharing some signs of depression. And I asked her, I said, "Mom, what's going on?" And she said, "It's lonely here." Scripture declares that when you are alone, it's lonely. It's truly, truly lonely. But it also tells you there is hope, because as a Christian, you are truly never alone, because you are always in the presence of the greatest of friends, Jesus Christ. As humans, we see our life only through our perspective, our windshield of view. We need our friends, though, to validate our rights and point out our wrongs and offer solutions. Supportive friendship is an absolute necessity in our personal and spiritual lives and its growth. In these relationships, we learn to trust others. We depend on others, and in doing so, we admit in our gestures of love, we need support. We need each other's company. Friendships have many qualities: strength, wisdom, integrity, confidence, helpfulness, trust. But most importantly, it has love and respect and protection. Modern day studies show that our culture is increasingly in a social isolation. I actually truly believe this. COVID put this theory and statistic into hyperdrive. I'll leave social isolation to another topic for another day. However, for today, I wish to speak about the cure of social isolation. The cure to social isolation is the church. In fact, it's this very church. This very church, Bethel Presbyterian, is equipped with all the resources needed to be a community of blessings and friendship. And today we celebrate that with our friends. In fact, this is our heritage, is it not? I call your attention to the book of Acts, where the church is portrayed as fulfilling ancient ideals of friendship. The Apostle John refers to fellow believers in his church as his friends. The church, this church, can be a surprising and welcoming glimpse into what true friendship is and what it does for both ourselves and our community. Our Christian friendship shows the world that we belong to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is our friend. When this lonely world we seem to live in of broken relationships sees churches filled with people who make up imperfect friendships, that's right, imperfect friendships. We are sinners. We're not perfect. But yet, these imperfect friendships, all the same, are filled with true repentance, forgiveness, and love for one another. Then they will know, the world around us will know, that something special has come down from heaven. They will see that our talk of Jesus as the friend of sinners is real, because we walk in our faith in church and beyond together as friends and disciples of Christ. In fact, this is what Jesus said in John 13:35. He said this: "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Jesus also later defined this love. He said, "Love for one another in the terms of the mutual love of friendship." He also said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And how has Jesus loved us? It's quite simple. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me and you, because He chose us as His friends. This is how we are to show the world that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. When we love each other, spend time with each other, and show the world through our love and connection with each other how Christ loves us. Friends, this is the true bedrock of friendship. I told you this sermon was short, and here's the closing statement. I leave you with this poem. It's titled Success, written by Edgar Guest. I hold no dream of fortune vast, nor seek undenying fame. I do not ask when life is past that many know my name. I may not own the skill to rise to glory's topmost height, nor win a place among the wise, but I can keep the right. And I can live my life on earth contented to the end, if but a few shall know my worth and proudly call me friend. Today, Bethel recognizes its friends. And again, I want to take time to honor these families that are gathered with us this morning. So please, again, join me as we recognize them for all they have done and all they likely will continue to do. Friends who are gathered here, the invitation is here to join and be a part of Bethel Presbyterian Church in friendship or in membership. We love you. We care for you. You represent God's blessings to us and what blessings you truly are. You are a true blessing of friendship to this family of faith in all that you do, all that you have done, and all that you may continue to do. We would not be here without you. And lastly, I call your attention to a vision this morning. It's memorialized behind you. For some of you, it's in front of you. I had the honor and the privilege to call this man my friend. We are seated here this morning because of his vision. He is gone now, but he's never forgotten. I can only hope that he's looking down on us and we've carried out the vision that he had hoped for. Because if you knew Wayne Swisher, you would know that his greatest joy was to be surrounded by his friends in meal and conversation and a simple gathering over a simple conversation. No greater friend than the vision where we sat this morning. He's honored here daily in his memorial. His vision goes on. And I find and hope that we do and carry out his goals. Even without him, I ask and hope and pray that he's proud of us as we move on. But I look confidently in hope one day that I am sure when I see him again, he will school me on the mistakes that we have made. First, before the hug comes of friendship. Again, I thank you for being with us this morning. On behalf of the session of Bethel Presbyterian Church, on behalf of the congregation, all those listed in the bulletin, all those people who do things behind the scenes that keeps this ministry rolling, wherever they are, we thank you. Your friendship is a true blessing to us. We couldn't do it without you, and we are thankful that God has allowed our paths to cross today, tomorrow, and into the future. Amen.